It's now past 9:30, August 27th. I call this meeting to order. Everyone, please stand and join us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our meeting will be recorded electronically. Copies are available at the sixth floor in the commissioner's office. Anyone who wants to address the commission, would you please state your name and address for the record so we can identify that in the electronic recording? We will have an executive session at 10 or around 10 o'clock for pending litigation. Other than that, we'll move into the agenda and the related items. Tim?
I move that approve the minutes.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Thanks, Greg. Tim, will you take us through the resolutions to be adopted?
Okay. You want to handle the discussion on the contracts and the separate resolutions later, or how would you like to proceed?
However you have them laid out on your...
Okay, let's first proceed to...
Tim also like to have the resolution about the senior citizens levy and adult protective services tabled or just removed for another week.
Okay.
If that's okay with...
It's fine. Fine with me. All right,
well,
Tim.
Why don't we proceed with discussions over six contracts today? Not asking for approval, just basically presentation and discussion today about these contracts.
Okay.
Bruce?
Bruce, you want to take us through the...
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the sequence that they're listed there, first we have one contract that's a new contract. I think we've had contracts with them in the past, but the other three that follow that are amendments to existing contracts. The first one is with Field of Grace Christian Care doing business as Kingdom Christian Care, and you have materials there related to that. The amount of the contract would be $159,300.
Go ahead, Bruce.
It's okay. That's the first one. The second one is an amendment for Oxford Early Childhood Care, and that's an amendment. The current contract amount is $25,600, and we're looking to for an additional amount of $4,300 on that contract. Materials are provided related to that contract in your packets. Third one is the YMCA Fit and Family Y, providing child care at Fillmore Elementary, the Latchkey program. And that's an amendment not to exceed $578.66. And then finally, we have the Fit and Family Y at Kramer Elementary School, and that's an amendment for an additional amount not to exceed $3,187.70. All of those contracts and amendments had resolutions prepared in July and were pulled for additional information. That information has been provided. I know these are on the agenda for discussion today. But there is some urgency in just trying to get these things finalized. If there's a possible way to get the amendments approved and the new contract with Kingdom Christian approved today, that would be appreciated.
Bruce, can you go over some of the background with Kingdom Christian for us as far as if this new, obviously there's no No historical information on this one?
Well, we did have prior contracts. It's not the amendment of an existing contract, but we have had contracts with them for 3 years. They've contracted with us since 2006, so we do have historical information.
What did we spend historically with them?
For year 2007-2008, we had an average of 25 children placed there for child care per month for a total of $113,586. For 2008-2009, an average of 35 children there for a total expenditure of $155,270. So we're looking at a small increase from last year.
Those are all pass-throughs, right?
That's correct. That's all state money that comes directly through. No local money in this at all.
Now, you can calculate an average per child, but it will vary because of the length of stay of the children?
That's right. Not all children are in child care for the same amount of time. Some are in there for as little as 2 hours a day, and some are there for as many as 9 hours a day.
So what are the averages?
The average monthly expenditure for 2007-2008 was $9,465, and the average monthly expenditure for 2008-2009 was $12,939.
On a per-child basis?
No, that's the total monthly.
That's the total month, but on a per-child basis, it becomes what number?
For the, again, depending on age, because there's different rates for the different ages of the children as well. The hourly rate for the infants is $8.76. For toddlers, $8.15. Preschool, $5.84. And school age, $5.47. That's during the school year. During the summertime, the school age goes to $6.40 per hour.
Does anybody have any other questions? Bruce, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us these reports. And you and I went. I had a couple questions yesterday, and you gave me the answers. If we could break that down to one more step, and that is unit cost per unit. When you're doing comparatives, it just saves me from doing the math. But it's been very helpful. So I think that's a.
We'll have that breakdown from here on.
Thank you. Do we need to deal with these today?
It would be helpful if we could.
Board want to entertain a motion to?
I move to approve.
So we're moving to approve the four that he's considered or he's talked about?
Yes.
Okay. I second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. Take care of the problem.
It does, thank you. We have one other contract that relates to our programming, and that's the agreement with the Butler County Educational Service Center to provide Help Me Grow program in an amount of $33,277. This is really just kind of a remnant of the budget process at the state. In prior years, Help Me Grow has been funded with TANF dollars that have been passed through from the state to our department and from our department to the Educational Services Center. For the current state fiscal year, that funding has shifted away from TANF and to the State Department of Health. And so from here on in, those funds will go directly from Columbus at the Department of Health to the Educational Services Center. But we did have 3 weeks at the beginning of this state fiscal year where we had continuing resolutions, and this $33 came to us through those continuing resolutions, and this contract will allow us to pass that money through to Educational Services Center for the services that have been provided.
The continuing resolutions were the interim funding because they had not passed a state budget.
That's correct.
Yeah, correct.
That's a mandated program, right?
It is. It is. And again, it's a pass-through. There's no local money in that. That's all state and federal money.
You want a resolution on that one? You want to go ahead with this one?
Oh. Guys, we're okay with it.
You're, Yeah, well, I'm okay with it if you need it today.
If you're okay with doing it today, that would be great. Otherwise, we can come back on that.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet? Commissioner Dixon?
That's a yes.
Yes.
I wrote down G instead of J, and you know, I'm looking at that and saying,
hey, you.
Geez, I know there's a lot of people circling around me, but how quickly I get forgotten here.
And the last contract we have is for adoption placement services, and I'll let Jeff Centers address that question.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is a new contract for adoption services through an agency called Action Incorporated, not to exceed $6,000. Basically, what we have here, we have two sibling boys who are in need of an adoptive home. We have permanent custody of these two boys. Their current foster home is unable to adopt them, so the children were placed in a statewide database as required by Ohio. And appropriate matches were searched, and about a half a dozen homes were given to us as referrals. The first home we looked at was talking with them, decided not to adopt them, so we went to number two on the list, and it was a home with the Action Incorporated company out of Dayton, Ohio. Essentially, what this will do for the boys is provide an adoptive home for them for 6 months. They're required to stay there for at least 6 months prior to finalization to make sure everything works. The $6,000 fee is for licensing services and supportive services provided to the adoptive family and the children while the children are there. This money, the funding for this is through Title 4B, adoption incentive money that we receive an allocation from every year. It's a 75% to 25% split, so the feds will pick up 75% of the cost for this service. And you know, the sooner we can probably get these boys into this home would be the better, so we can establish some permanency for them. This company out of Dayton, Ohio has been in business since 1998. First founded in 94 as a support group. And their primary mission is to match children with families, both in the state of Ohio and internationally. They have a staff of about six folks, and you know, we have no issues with them. We've never dealt with them before, but their reputation is a solid one, so we don't anticipate any issues with this placement at all.
Jeff, this is like a service fee that we're paying this agency because, you know, they found an adoptive home.
Correct.
For us, and right now we continue to pay the for the children to be in foster care at so much per day.
$126 a day is what we're paying currently to be in foster care, but once the movement here, it's $6,000 flat rate for the children. And they have a fee structure, should have in front of you. I believe it's in the one of the exhibits that shows the fees they charge per age per child. It's a flat rate for everyone, so it's not a negotiable deal. This is not unusual. Many counties deal with these type of agencies. We did not deal with any last year. I believe we had our last similar contract was in 2007 with a company out of northeastern Ohio, and I believe that fee was around $10,000. So this, in my experience, is shown that $6,000 is a relative fair charge for this type of service.
Do you need this today?
The sooner the better we can move these boys in and get them started in school.
I'm okay with it. Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Going to the separate resolution, is that where you are, Tim?
Yeah. We next have a separate resolution dealing with Job and Family Services. Actually, we have a pair of resolutions here dealing with Job and Family Services. The first resolution is to ratify an agreement with the AFSCME Ohio Council 8 for changes in their contract. The second is to approve pay reductions in pay hours. In fact, the first one basically adjusts pay hours as well for the non-collective bargaining unit people. So we have Bruce here today to talk about it, you know, as well as Jerome and Kelly Babcock from Clements and Nelson. So let's handle them one at a time. First, you know, you discuss, you know, what the changes in the contract, you know, is, and then we will, you know, move forward with the presentation. One point of clarification on this particular contract, it's being extended through what date, Kelly?
June 30th, 2010.
Okay, we have November 30th on the on the agenda. It should be June 30th.
2010.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bruce.
So in addition to extending this contract from November 30th until June 30th of 2010, the other pertinent provisions in this contract are to reduce the work week for the bargaining unit staff from 40 hours per week to 38 hours per week. We are also seeking your approval of the agreement that would end a practice that we've had where staff who have accrued personal time could on an annual basis cash that out. Instead of being able to cash that out from this point forward, they'll be able to utilize that time, and I think there's a provision still that allows them to convert it to other time that can be used. But the cash out option would be gone. There'll be no additional step increases or pay increases of any kind during the balance of the contract. What else am I forgetting?
About if the state would cut further, would there be provisions?
There's a provision to reopen the contract again, and frankly, that's one of the great unknowns that we have at this point. We keep hearing that the revenue streams for the state are lagging behind, even though in July I guess there was a slight uptick, and there's likely to be another slight uptick in September due to the cash for clunkers. But so, the overall revenue outlook is still not good. If there are further cuts that come from the state or budget action that's taken by the General Assembly, then we'll be back in a position where we'll be talking to the bargaining unit again and dealing with the non-bargaining unit staff as well. The other thing that's covered in this is that we will be adjusting the hours that that our department is open. Currently, we're open from 7 in the morning until 5 at night, Monday through Friday. We did some surveying and found out that the least busy time in our office is between 4 and 5, and we'll be shifting the hours from 7 to 5 to 7 to 4, 5 days a week instead. We don't anticipate that will present any problems for any clients. We do make arrangements with people who have difficulty getting into the office on a case-by-case basis to deal with them, either at their homes or at hours that are more convenient to them.
Do we have, when a client comes in, do we timestamp when they come in?
We keep track of what time they come in, yes.
So those people who would happen to come in between 4 and 5 in the past, would we know who those people would be?
We might have that information, and we can address direct communication to them.
Right, just notify them saying that we're changing the time, just so they are aware of it.
And we
may
also
be creatures of habit of, you know, hey, I can only commit between 4 and 5. So
and typically the challenge exists more for our clients who are working. And I think what we found through our experience is that typically the people who are working during the day usually come into the office first thing in the morning before they go to work rather than at the end of the day. It's a shorter wait when they come in then. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more convenient for them. But we'll certainly see if we have a way of notifying individuals who typically come in late, and we will certainly undertake efforts to make public announcement about the change in hours as well.
Didn't you do a little analysis on that time period from 4 to 5, you know, I thought, to look at who's coming in during that time?
We did, we to see how many, and the numbers were really very few. Do you recall the the Count Jerome?
Our Middletown office, our Hamilton office, and double-digit numbers in average, but it was between 10 and 12 individuals. And we see hundreds of people throughout the day.
The hours at Workforce One have historically been 8 to 5, and those hours are going to remain the same.
Okay. Any questions, comments? I think it's a monumental change from the way we used to do business. And, it's just a sign of the times. And I, for one, would like to thank the county employees for taking this step. It was a big step, and I know it was not an easy step, but I think in the long range and in the long plan, it will prove to keep a lot of jobs that we wouldn't have been able to keep, and it also helps the taxpayers with the situation that we're all dealing with, and that's funding county government at this point. So it's a monumental change.
It really is, and I'd like to add my thanks to the employees as well. The simple fact is that in the last year, our food stamp caseload has increased over 40%, and so the volume of work that's being done is incredibly high compared to what it was a year ago, and this will allow us to keep the most people available in the office for the longest period of time to be able to process those additional cases.
Well, somebody's always got to be first to make the step, and these folks made the first step, so I really sincerely say thank you to them for what they've done.
I think maybe we should let them know by a letter to the...
That'd be good, yeah, communications.
Express our appreciation, saving jobs and stepping forward. I think that's important.
Do we need to vote on it separately?
Yes, sir.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Now we go to the non-collective bargaining people, but just wanted to remind everyone that this particular agency has also reacted in the past to changes in levels and changes in cuts at the state. For example, through attrition or layoffs last year, we eliminated, about 29, 30? Positions.
Actually, since May of 2008, our total employment is down a net of 35. It was down 45, and then we took on the additional burden of 10 fiscal staff from Children's Services by combining our fiscal departments, and so we have a gross reduction in our staff of 45, a net reduction of 35 with that addition. And as I say, that's at a time with a 40% increase in food stamp caseload. And the second provision as it relates to non-bargaining staff is really to mirror the hours worked by the bargaining unit staff. We'll be reducing the work week from 40 to 38 hours a week, which will generate a 5% savings in salaries. Again, we have a wage freeze in place for non-bargaining staff. We have no overtime for non-bargaining staff. We're being very, very tight on any travel requests that we even bring to you, and you're being equally hard when we do bring those to you. So we're doing everything we can to save money for the county.
I understand the non-bargaining unit people signed waivers.
Everyone, that's correct.
Could you explain the purpose of those waivers for us, Kelly?
Sure. For your classified non-bargaining unit employees, a reduction in pay or a reduction in hours that would result in a reduction in pay for your non-exempt employees, they would have had a right to appeal to the State Personnel Board of Review. If those hours exceeded the mandatory cost savings plan that is allowed under the statute, and all of these employees agreed to waive that right and accept voluntarily this reduction and not challenge the county's plan in this case. So I do commend them for, you know, making that effort and going along with the plan voluntarily and not having to force the county to go into a mandatory situation with them.
Thank you. Any questions?
Oh, I think the same thing would go with this group as far as letting them know our appreciation, because it means a lot. It goes a long way for the county.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Move to approve.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.